If you could turn with me, please, in the Word of God, not only to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, but now for the second reading in Matthew's Gospel and the chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and we will commence reading from verse 1. The context is familiar for those who have been able to gather week by week. Now, Jesus Christ is upon a mountain. He has sat down and he teaches the multitudes before him about those who are truly blessed, those who are well off in time and eternity, those who are saved. Now, verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he that is Christ went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the pure in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We'll end reading there at verse 12. Let us bow our heads with the word of God before us. Let us bow our heads to the Lord and ask for his speaking voice. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy living word. We thank thee, Father, that it is thy word which speaks to us. It's thy word which reveals to us the truth of Jesus Christ and the salvation that's found in him, of our need for Jesus Christ and his salvation. I pray, Father, tonight that for the remainder of this meeting, that we would have a stillness, that we would be very aware of thee speaking to us, speaking to our hearts, revealing to us the heart that we have, whether it be one that is unconverted, unregenerated, or whether one that is converted and regenerated. Let us know tonight where the Spirit of God truly dwells within our hearts. Let us know tonight whether we truly have received the mercy of Jesus Christ to us. Father, assure thy people and save the lost. Make us all this evening. We have been made in thine image. We are precious to thee. Let us have a love for us because we are made in thine image. We pray, Lord, that thy words be pleased to save and to sanctify. To that end, I pray that thou wouldst fill me afresh with thy Holy Spirit. Bring to my mind the words I was having to say and bring much glory and advancement to Christ and his kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray it all. Amen. Many people, young and older this evening, will have heard of the name Isaac Newton. He is one of Great Britain's greatest scientists, and indeed perhaps one of the greatest scientists in the world. But yet his background in earlier life may not be what some people thought it ought to have been, and indeed would have been. Newton's mother wanted Isaac to become a farmer, but Isaac had no interest in farming, and when he tried, he failed at it. Newton, he had a love for many things. He had a love for history and the reading of history books. He even had a love for law and went on to study law. But sadly, Isaac Newton would suffer great sorrow whenever his mother died. And this sorrow would lead him to enter into 6 years of intellectual seclusion, where he would only communicate with people through the briefest of notes. Isaac Newton would suffer 2 nervous breakdowns. And yet it was in this time of seclusion, leading him to the study of mathematics and optics and science, that he would be able to develop and discover what you and I know him to have been. Isaac Newton developed and recognized a fundamental law known today as Newton's second law of motion. It says this: an object remains at rest unless acted upon by an external force. And certainly you could see that in Newton's life itself, that he would not have been what he was unless of the experience that he'd experienced in his earlier life. An object remains at rest unless acted upon by an external force. When you and I come to the Beatitudes this evening, there are 8 Beatitudes. But yet the first 4 impact the second 4. For example, in verse 3, we read the first Beatitude: blessed are the pure in spirit, those who are spiritual beggars, seeing that they are nothing before God, they have nothing to offer God, and perishing as a beggar, they hold out their hand for mercy from Jesus Christ. And receiving mercy, what do we find in the 5th Beatitude? They then are merciful. The first Beatitude and the 5th Beatitude go together. Now look at the 2nd Beatitude. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, grieved over their sin, because it grieves the Lord who loved them and sent his son to die for them. And so what do we find in Beatitude 6? Will they then become pure, single-minded in heart to live for God? In the 3rd Beatitude, we read, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. That is, they seek not to live for themselves, but for God and for their neighbor. And as a result, we then come into verse 9, that they then desire to be peacemakers, that others will come to know Christ as Savior. We come into the 4th Beatitude, found there in verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And even if they, in the 8th Beatitude, are persecuted for righteousness' sake, yet they still seek Christ, and they still live for Christ, because they hunger and they thirst after Christ. All these Beatitudes are connected. The first 4 show the condition of those who enter the kingdom of God and the character of those who are in the kingdom of God. Whenever it comes to these 4 final Beatitudes, the first 4 show the impact that results in the final 4. And tonight we're looking at the 5th Beatitude in verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And the question will come to you and I this evening: are we those who have had the gospel of Jesus Christ change us? See, as Isaac Newton said, an object will remain at rest unless acted upon by an external force. And tonight, if you and I really believe the gospel, really believe that Jesus Christ has loved us, given his mercy to us who are spiritual beggars, then we will be changed and we will then be merciful. We who have received mercy will want to show forth that mercy to others. And so the question comes tonight: are we those who have truly received that mercy? Because if we have, if we are those who are truly saved this evening, then we will show the mercy of Jesus Christ to others. We will reveal it in our lives. You see, in verse 7, Jesus Christ said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Whenever it comes that final day of judgment, it will be clear that they will obtain the mercy of God. That it will be made manifest to them that they will not go to that lake of fire, but they will go to eternal glory with the Lord. Because their hearts have been changed. They have already received God's mercy and salvation. Now, there's a number of things we need to look at tonight regarding the subject of mercy. The first is this: in God's word, mercy is defined. I've no doubt that if I was to ask you to give me different definitions of mercy, you'd be able to give me a whole variety of them. But how does God's word define mercy? Well, the Greek term that's used here comes from a root word which means to be actively compassionate. It's not merely to have a desire to do something, but actually to then do that something. Mercy is not just feeling the need that someone has, but it is meeting the need of that person. That's why we read from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, if you want to turn to that passage with me now. You see, in this illustration that Jesus Christ gives of a Jew who is traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. We find this Jew is beaten. He's left at the side of the road. He's been beaten so much, he's at the point of dying. He has been robbed. He is without money. He is without health. He is without help. And he is without compassion. He's without a donkey to get him to anywhere of safety. A priest will walk by, a Levite will walk by, but they will do nothing for him. This man is without help, and he is without compassion. But then a Samaritan comes along, and as Jesus Christ says in verse 37, or indeed as the passage reveals this in verse 37, the Samaritan shows the Jew mercy. The Samaritan not merely feels for the need that the Jew has as he's dying there at the side of the road, but he does something about the need that the Jew has. The Samaritan shows the Jew compassion to the one who's not been shown it. The Samaritan gives help to the one who is without help. The Samaritan pours in oil to the man whose wounds are in need of oil. The Samaritan will provide a donkey for him who's got no strength to travel to a place of safety. The Samaritan will pay money for him who's got no money. He'll provide food for him who's hungry. He'll provide water for him who's thirsty and shelter for him who's homeless. What is mercy? Mercy is being actively compassionate. It is seeing the need, caring about the need of somebody else, and then actually meeting the need. The theologian A.A. Hodge said, mercy is feeling for the miseries of another and providing relief for the miseries of another. Mercy is defined in God's word. That's the first point tonight. Not just feeling the need, we're caring about the need, but actually meeting the need. Notice with me, second of all, that mercy is commanded in God's word. If you turn me, please, to the book of Deuteronomy and the chapter 15. Book of Deuteronomy and the chapter 15. And the verse 7. The Lord speaking to Moses and declaring to Moses and therefore the people of God what his will is. In verse 7 of Deuteronomy 15 we read, if there be among you, that is among the nation of Israel, a pure man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thine arm, thine hand from thy pure brother, but thou shalt open thine hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need in that which he wanted. Notice with me the emphasized and the repeated imperatives, the commands in these verses. In verse 7, thou shalt not harden thine heart. That's not a suggestion, that is a command. In verse 8, thou shalt open thine hand, and thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother who is in need. And indeed, verse 10 of the chapter, thou shalt surely give him. Verse 11 of the chapter, God says, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thine hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to thy needy in thy land. Mercy is commanded in God's word. And may I just say that whenever you look at Leviticus chapter 25 and the verse 35, this mercy is to be shown not merely to those who are of the same nation of you or those who are in the church along with you, but it is to be shown to all, even to the stranger, to the sojourner. Mercy is commanded in God's word. In fact, it is commanded in abundance. It was the American theologian Jonathan Edwards who spoke of mercy. And he said, quote, I know of scarce any duty which is so much insisted on, so pressed and urged on upon us, both in the Old Testament and New, as this duty of charity to the poor. That is actively showing care to those who are in need. For example, in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, we read, that God has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God? God said in Hosea 6, verse 6, I desired mercy and not sacrifice. Coming into the New Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ himself speaking to the Pharisees in Matthew 23, verse 23 said, Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. There were a people who were giving money to the work of the church, but they weren't showing mercy. Christ rebuked them. The apostle said in James chapter 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. While no doubt the term widows refers to the actual widows, yet it is also in a principal form referring to those who are in need. Men and women, mercy is commanded by the Lord. Mercy is expected by the Lord. If God is the one who has shown you mercy, if you are one who says, I am truly saved, preacher, I really believe that Jesus Christ has shown me mercy, given me forgiveness of my sins, met me at the point of my need in the gospel and in salvation, well then you will, according to the word of God, you will be compelled to show mercy to others. Or you'll not be perfect, you'll fail and stumble like every true believer, but you will be striving, ever turning from your sin and striving to show mercy and thankfulness for Christ who's shown you mercy. In Matthew 18, and Jesus Christ tells a story about a servant who owed a king 10,000 talents. To put that into our money today, that's £6 billion. If he had an average wage, that would take him 220,000 years to pay off that debt. And yet the king turned around and said, I will show mercy. You are in great need, and I will show you mercy. That servant went out, and he found one servant that belonged to him, and he turned around and said, you owe me 100 pence. That's the equivalent of just a few thousand pounds compared to the £6 billion. And the servant, who had just left the presence of the king, went out, and he said, if you do not pay me the few thousand pounds, as it were, if you don't pay me the 100 pence, I will take you and throw you into prison, and you will never be able to pay the debt, because how can you earn money if you're in prison? And you and your family will perish. And Jesus Christ applied that lesson, that parable in Matthew 18. That if we are those who really appreciate the mercy we've received, if we really believe that Christ has shown us mercy, then we will be those that show mercy. But if we do not show mercy to others, then the reality is we've never actually received mercy ourselves. You may be saying this evening, in what way does Christ show mercy? We think about the story of the Good Samaritan of whom we read earlier on in Luke chapter 10. You see, you and I are a bit like that Jewish man going to Jericho, the place of the curse. We are those who have no clothing of righteousness. We are those who, as it were, are naked before God. We are those who have nothing. We're filled with shame. We're those who've got no strength to get up from our sin and our sinful condition. We're those who have no home but are on our way to hell. We're those who, in the law or indeed morality or in church leadership, will find no Savior. We're those who find no satisfaction as well. We're empty. We're starving. We're dying. And yet Jesus Christ is the Good Samaritan. He's the one who has come along. And in the gospel, he provides for us all that we need. He's the one who loves us whenever others don't. He is the one who gives us strength, gives us a new heart to rise up from sin. He is the one who clothes us with his righteousness. He is the one who provides for us in life. He is the one who satisfies us with himself as the bread of life. He is the one who gives us a home in glory. Can you imagine that Jew who had been shown kindness by the Good Samaritan, and after he had got better from his wounds, that if he had the Good Samaritan come back to him, and the Good Samaritan asked him to show some kindness, some small kindness, to someone who was in need, do you really believe that Jew would not be willing to show mercy and kindness to
The Good Samaritan had shown him so much. If it wasn't for the Good Samaritan, he would be dead. You see, the reality is tonight, if we have received truly the mercy of Christ, we really believe that Christ has given us so much, a debt that would take us more than 220,000 years to pay, a debt that's far greater than £6 billion, a debt that if we were to spend an eternity, we'd still never pay it. And yet Jesus Christ has paid the debt in our place. When he suffered the wrath of God in our place at Calvary, if we really believe that Jesus Christ has met us at the point of our need, that if he's shown us mercy, then we then, listening to his command, will want to show mercy to others. Maybe in a far smaller way, but we'll want to show mercy to others in love for Christ who's first loved us. That's why we read that the righteous are those that show mercy. For example, in Psalm 37, verse 21, we read, "It is the righteous who showeth mercy." It's the righteous who give. In Proverbs 14, verse 31, we read, "He that honoreth God hath mercy on the poor." If we love God, we will love those who are in need. We will care for them. Not simply want to do something, but actually then do something to those who are in need. So let me ask you this evening, are you one who shows mercy? In love for the Lord who's loved you? Are you one who sees someone who is in need and doesn't just feel for them, but actually then does something about their need? Mercy is to have compassion. That is passion with action. Or are we those who don't really care? Ah, forget about it. I'm too busy. If we believe that Christ has shown us mercy, if we are the spiritual beggar that's poor in spirit and holds out our hand for the mercy from Jesus Christ, then we in turn will want to show mercy. Let me ask you this evening, are you one who's received the mercy of Christ? Are you one who's truly saved? Have you got the Spirit of God dwelling within you, compelling you, directing you, stirring you up to show mercy to others and thankfulness for Christ's love to you? If you don't, then you have to ask yourself, a bit like the servant in Matthew 18, have you ever actually ever received mercy? You see, mercy is defined in God's Word. It's also commanded in God's Word and expected by God in God's Word. But notice with me another thing. Mercy is significant in God's Word. Perhaps you say, but preacher, is this even actually that important, this subject of mercy? Of showing kindness to people, is that actually really important? Will you turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, and you'll find something most solemn. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25. In verse 31, we read about the end of time. We read about the day of judgment, when all are gathered together. Verse 31 of Matthew 25, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them the left hand, that is the goats, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. What is one of the most significant attributes that Jesus Christ will be looking for whenever it comes to the last day of judgment? It is this: did you show mercy? Did you show compassion, active compassion on those who were in need? Or did you not? If we have received mercy, we will be compelled by the Spirit of God within us to show mercy. But if we do not show mercy, it is because the Spirit of God does not dwell within us. And we've never received the mercy of Christ in salvation. And we will go to eternal judgment. This subject of mercy and the showing of mercy is one of the chief attributes of what will be looked at the end of days. Let me ask you this evening, why was the city of Sodom destroyed in the Old Testament? Why did God rain fire and brimstone upon Sodom? Sure, many of you will say, well, it's because of their sodomy. You turn with me, please, to Ezekiel chapter 16, and you may find something that surprises you. Oh, yes, it was because of their sodomy. Now, Peter's letter will make that clear, but it's also something else. Ezekiel chapter 16. In verse 49, this is what the Lord says. Verse 49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom: pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. Sodom was a city that had an abundance of provision. They saw those who were in need, and they did not help those who were in need. That was Sodom's sin. That's what God judged Sodom for, in addition to the other. This is why the Apostle John says in 1 John 3, verses 17 to 19, but whoso hath this world's goods, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? How dwelleth the love of God in one who, if they say they've received mercy, doesn't show it? Nah, that doesn't work. Men and women, mercy is significant. It's what God will look at the end of time. Have we shown mercy, or have we not? Have we believed Christ's mercy to us in the gospel, or have we not? Have we been changed by the mercy of Jesus Christ to us, or have we not? That's why the psalmist said, the righteous sheweth mercy. He that honoreth God, he that loves God and thankfulness for Christ, he is the one who has mercy on the poor. Let me ask you, how will you fare in the day of judgment? How will you fare in that last day? You see, it's the wicked who are told, who of whom we are taught in John 12, verse 6, they care not for those in need. It's the wicked who we're taught in Ezekiel 18, 12, who mock those who are in need. It's the wicked of whom we're told in Proverbs 29, verse 7, who neglect those in need. It's of the wicked of whom we're told in Ezekiel 22, verse 20, who torment those in need. It's of the wicked of whom we're told in Amos verse, chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, who defraud those in need. It's of the wicked that we're taught in Psalm 10, verse 12, who persecute those in need. And it's over the wicked that we're taught in Amos 4, verse 1, who crushed those in need. But let me ask you, as I speak to myself, have you ever, and do you, as your general pattern of behavior, are you those who ignore those who are in need? After all, you're just too busy. You've got too many other better things to do. Do you laugh at those in need? Do you see a beggar in the street, maybe if you're in Belfast, and you think, oh, well, they've likely done something foolish, they end up there, and you laugh at them? Do you defraud somebody who is in need? Maybe they're moving house, maybe they're moving country, and they need a bit of cash quickly, and so you go and you buy something off them at half price. They're not really willing to give it to you. Ah, but sure, you can defraud them because they're in need. It's the wicked that don't show mercy. It's the righteous who show mercy. Perhaps some are beginning to sit up this evening at this thought of the significance of mercy. Perhaps you're wondering, well, in what ways does God expect me to show mercy in my life? Well, notice with me then another point. Mercy is not merely significant in God's word, but now mercy is described in God's word. Let me give you a few definitions of mercy. Mercy is helping people who have a need. It was Job who said in chapter 29, verse 2 of the book after his name, that he delivered the person, quote, that had none to help him. And throughout the gospel records, we have Jesus Christ who would deliver those who have none to help them. Jesus Christ would heal the woman with the issue of blood. No doctor could help her. Jesus Christ would heal the lame, the blind, the deaf, the dumb. No doctor could help them. Christ would show mercy to those who needed mercy. He would help those who could not help themselves. Mercy is helping those who have a need and who cannot help themselves. The second thing about mercy is helping people at the point of their need. In Matthew 25, which we read earlier on, Jesus Christ speaks about those who showed mercy. To those who were hungry, the one who showed mercy gave them food. To the one who was thirsty, the one who showed mercy gave them water. To the one who was alone in prison, the one who showed mercy went to them. To the one who was homeless and in need of hospitality, the one who showed mercy was the one who showed them that hospitality. Mercy is helping people at the point of their need. Mercy is not giving money to the man who's lonely. It may ease someone's conscience, just throw a bit of money at it. But that's not mercy. Mercy to the man who's lonely in prison is going to see that man. Mercy is not giving to the man who's sick. No, it's visiting that man who's sick. Mercy is not throwing a few pounds to the man who's got no home. It's showing him hospitality and giving him somewhere to sleep. Mercy is helping people who have a need. It's helping people at the very point of their need. It's also helping people in the right way. I remember reading a few years ago a letter from a minister in Haiti after the devastating earthquake of 2010, when around 200,000 people were killed, many buildings and livelihoods were destroyed. And that minister in Haiti, he said that after the initial tragedy, where he was so thankful for people throughout the world who showed mercy in providing them with money and clothing and shelter, through missionary organizations and secular organizations such as the Red Cross, he went on to say a number of months later that whenever trucks continued to be sent to Haiti, with food and clothing being dumped over the sides of the trucks, the minister began to cry for it to stop. Because the people in Haiti were learning that if they just waited for more food, they would get it for free. If they were beginning to think that we're just going to get food for free anyway, we don't need to work ourselves. We don't need to plant food. We don't need to farm. We don't need to work for a living then to go and buy clothes or make our clothes. We don't need to provide for our families. We're just going to be given stuff for free. Just wait for the trucks to come. After all, if they stay poor, someone else will provide for them. So the minister began to cry for missionaries and secular organizations to send no more food and no more clothing, but instead teach the people how to work. Teach the people how to restart their farm. Teach the people how to rebuild their home. And let the people work. Because the Bible says, if a man will not work, he ought not to eat. Mercy is helping those who are in need, but it's helping people in the right way. Mercy is not doing everything for someone. It's helping people in the way they actually need help. Because in life, there is what's known as critical poverty, where it's an emergency, and you just need to step in and help. But then there's a type of chronic poverty, whereby it's the idea, it's of an attitude that's the problem. They're not willing to work, and what they need is not practical help being given to them. It is actually direction and teaching to show them this is how you are to work. Let me ask you this evening, are you one who shows mercy? Are you one who's truly saved? Are you one who's compelled by the Spirit of God living within you, seeing Christ's love to you, want to show love to others? See, Jesus Christ, the one who's shown us mercy, he is the one who stepped in whenever we could not help ourselves. He is the one who has met us at the very point of our actual need. Jesus Christ did not throw money whenever we needed forgiveness. No, he lived the perfect life and he shed his precious blood so that we could have forgiveness of our sins. Whenever we needed new life and to be born again, he's not the one who just threw money at us. No, he actually then quickened us by his Spirit. He's the one who shows us mercy at the very point of our need. Men and women, Jesus Christ is the one who shows us mercy in the right way. And showing us mercy in this way, he's the one who wants us to show, and he commands us and expects from us to show mercy to others in that very same right way. So let me ask you, as I ask myself, when you see someone who is in need, do you help them or do you ignore them? And if you see someone who is in need, do you just think, oh, well, let's throw them a bit of money and ease my conscience? Or do you actually seek to find out what is the real problem here? What need do they actually have here? Because I want to meet them at the point of their need. If someone is sick, do you visit them? Do you phone them to see how they are? If someone is in prison, do you write to them? Do you go to them? If someone is discouraged or despairing, do you encourage them and seek to help them? If someone has no friends, are you a friend to them? If someone needs a lift, do you offer them one? If someone needs forgiveness, do you forgive them? If someone that you know is ignorant of truth, do you then tell them the truth of Christ and the gospel? Do you seek to help those who are in need and meet them at the very point of their needs? If you see that someone is in just a desperate need, are you willing to help them immediately? Or are you just saying, I'm just too busy, I've got too many other things to do, I can't help you now? Or do you drop what you can and go and help them? Or you find somebody and you realize that really what the problem is an attitude. They just keep receiving and receiving and receiving, but not actually doing anything for themselves when they can do it. Are you one who is willing to actually stop, speak to them, correct them, show them the need to start doing what they can? Do you show mercy the way Christ wants you to show mercy, and show actual mercy? See, mercy is helping those who are in actual need, helping them in the right way for the meeting of that need, at their point of need. But mercy is also helping those who are unknown. Perhaps you meet a person you do not know. You maybe ask the question, should I show mercy to them? The Apostle Paul was the one who said in Hebrews 13, verse 2, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained strangers, or indeed entertained angels unawares. Perhaps you meet a person and you do not know if they really need help or not. Well, that can often happen. What should we do? Well, Job said in Job 29, 16, I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out. Showing mercy is not easy. Showing mercy takes time and effort and thought and diligence in order to meet the need of a person appropriately. But that's the way Christ has shown mercy to us. It took him 33 years to meet our need by living a perfect life for us, fulfilling every jot and tittle of God's law for us. He had to suffer hatred and rejection, mockery and scorn, beating and slandering, not to mention the incomprehensible suffering of his Father's wrath in our place. It cost Christ time and effort and diligence in order to show us mercy. And if we believe that, if we believe the love of the Son of God to us, then we will want to love the way God has loved us. So much could be said about this. See, mercy is helping people sacrificially, helping them without expecting anything in return. Mercy is helping people willingly, not hardening our hearts, but doing it without a grudge. Mercy is helping people humbly, giving your alms, not so that men could see it, but just giving it, just not for the praise of men, but just doing it because you want to love and honor God. Mercy is helping people sufficiently, doing not just a little bit and saying, well, I've done my bit. No, it's actually helping people as much as you can to meet all of their need. And mercy is helping people purposefully. Whenever you show someone mercy, you're doing it that they will see the mercy of Christ to you and in the gospel, because that's the mercy that is offered to them in the gospel. You see, there is such a thing which is called the social gospel, and that's where people just show goodness to people and kindness to people, but they don't do it because of Christ's love to them. They just do it, and that's it. Just to fix up people's temporal lives. But the gospel in society is a different thing. You believe God's love to you in the gospel, and so you want to reveal that gospel to others. You want to reveal Christ's mercy to you, to others, that they can come and experience that mercy of salvation. Mercy is commanded in God's word. It is expected from God, as we see in his word. We will be judged at the end of time as to whether we showed mercy or whether we didn't. Mercy is significant. It is commanded. It is defined clearly. But notice with me, as I seek to finish this evening, mercy is reasoned in God's word. Let me ask the question, why should we be merciful? We should be merciful because humanity is in reality a family. You may be willing to help a son or a daughter or a husband or a wife or a father or a mother because they're so close to you, they're part of your family. But yet, Paul says that all men of all nations are all of one blood. We're all one family. We're all brothers and sisters in the sense that we're descendants of Adam and Eve. We're all one family. And it's most enlightening whenever God commands us and exhorts us to show mercy. He speaks about, thou shalt not shut thine hand from thy brother. Beware that thine eye be not evil against thy brother. Thou shalt open thine hand wide to thy brother. Oh yes, we have our biological families, and yes, we have our church families, and yes, we are to show mercy to all of these. But Paul says we're to show mercy to all, not just to those of the household of faith. We should be merciful because humanity is in reality a family. We should show mercy because all people are valuable. If you lost a penny from your purse or your wallet, you probably wouldn't care too much. But if you lost your car keys or you lost the key, a diamond ring, you'd probably care about that. And you would seek for that which is lost, that which is valuable to you. And all people are valuable to the Lord. He wants them all to see the mercy that Christ has in the gospel. And so those who are in need, Christ wants us to show mercy to them because they're valuable to God. They're made in His image, as we saw this morning. Whenever you and I see a beggar in the street, we dare not look upon them as invaluable. They are valuable and precious to God. Whenever you and I see a rebellious child, perhaps in Sunday school, we must not think that they're invaluable. They are valuable to God. Whenever you and I see an elderly person with dementia or a young baby, we dare not see them as worth it because they're valuable to God. And we're to show mercy to them who are in need because God has shown mercy to us and these people are valuable to God. He wants them to see the mercy of Christ in us. We should be merciful because all that we have is not our own. Anything that we have, our time, our possessions, our money, these things have been given to us by God to be used for God. They're not for us to be used to our own end. And of course, we should be merciful because what we do to the poor, listen to this, we do it to Christ. You look with me again, please, at Matthew chapter 25. Whenever, if you're the one tonight who truly is saved and you really believe that you cry unto Christ for mercy, realizing your spiritual poverty, that you've nothing to offer God in salvation, and you're perishing on your way to hell, and so you ask Christ for mercy, if you really believe that Christ has given you mercy, He's forgiven you, He's changed you, well, surely you'll want to do anything to serve Christ if Christ this very evening was to come down from glory and He was to ask you for a cup of water. I'm sure you'd give it to Him. If Jesus Christ was to ask you for a lift, I'm sure you would give it to Him. And yet, whenever you read through Matthew chapter 25, Jesus Christ said in verse 35, "For I wasn't hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. Was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." And they said, "But we didn't do it to you." But Jesus Christ says, "But you did. Whenever you showed mercy to those who were in need, you were actually doing it to me. The one who loved you and gave Himself for you." Why we should show mercy? Because whenever we show mercy, we do it to the Lord. This evening, let me ask you, are you one who is born again? Are you one this evening who has the Spirit of God dwelling within you? Are you one this evening who really believes that you've received mercy from Christ? And you'll be the one that wants to show mercy to others. I'm not asking you tonight, are you perfect in the showing of mercy? But I'm asking you tonight, whenever you see yourself having failed in showing mercy, are you one who sorrows over it, grieved over it, because it grieves God, and are you turning from your sin and saying, "Lord, I want to show mercy, because this is commanded by you, this is significant to you, this is what honors you, this is what delights you, I want to show mercy." And in showing mercy to those who are in need, no matter what the world thinks or does not think of the person, showing mercy to you. Are you one who wants to show mercy? I have so much more that could be said this evening, but I want to leave it there. But let me just quote to you again, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. Because there the Lord Jesus Christ said, regarding those who are blessed, those who are well off, those who are truly saved, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." Those who believe Christ's love to them in Beatitude 1, and who therefore show their love to others and their mercy to others, for Christ's mercy to them, they and they only will be the ones who will obtain the mercy from God at the last day of judgment. They and they alone. Are you one who shows mercy? Are you one who believes in Christ's mercy to you? Are you one who's blessed? Are you one who's truly saved? If you realize tonight that you've been a bit like that servant in Matthew 18, and you realize, you know, I've never really thought about the mercy of Christ to me. I've never really thought about my need of it. There's been many persons that I have ignored and neglected and not cared about and laughed and mocked who are in need. And it never bothered me. God commanded it. You see that tonight. But you've never cared about it. Well, see tonight not merely your sin. See tonight not merely your failure. But see tonight Jesus Christ, who is willing to show you mercy, as Micah 7 puts it, or as Ephesians 2 puts it. He's willing to make you a new creature. He's willing to pardon your iniquity, to pass your transgression, to forgive you. He's willing to show you compassion, to meet you at the very point of your need. You need forgiveness? He'll give it to you. You need a new heart? He'll give it to you. You need a new will? He'll give it to you. He will meet you at the point of your need tonight because he is merciful. He delights in mercy. He abounds in mercy. He is plenteous in mercy. He loves to meet people at the point of their need. You ask Christ for mercy tonight, and he will show it to you. All that come unto him, he'll in no wise cast out. And in thankfulness for his love to you, then go and you show mercy to those who are in need. Not to earn salvation, but in thankfulness for what Christ has given to you. We could never pay that £6 billion debt. But we can show the mercy in the small ways that we can, in light of the great mercy that Christ has shown us. Are we blessed this evening? Are we truly saved this evening? Let's just bow in prayer. Our gracious Lord and our Father in heaven, we thank that Jesus Christ in these Beatitudes is the one who makes things so clear. He is the one, Father, who makes the big distinguishing marks between those who are truly converted and those who are not. I pray, Father, this evening that each one who is saved, that we will see that while we are not perfect, yet we do desire to show mercy. We do desire to forgive those who need forgiven when they ask for it. Lord, we are those who want to show kindness and care and help and friendship to those who are in need of it, because Christ, the one who showed it to us. Oh, Father, make us who are thine more and more to be what thou dost want us to be, merciful, ever understanding more and more thy mercy to us, and doing it in thankfulness for thy love to us. But Father, for those who are unconverted, help them to see tonight that because of their sinfulness and their selfishness, they need mercy. They need Christ's mercy. And Lord, encourage them tonight, because Christ is the one who's merciful. He delights in it, is plenteous in it, and abounds in it. All that come unto him in faith and in repentance, calling upon Christ to apply the blood that he shed to their account to wash away their sins and to make them as white as snow, he will do it. Because whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Lord, write this truth upon their heart. And may they cry for Christ to be merciful to them. And may they be changed. And may they be merciful. In Jesus' name we ask all these things. Amen.